Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Friday, May the 2nd. My name's Dan Wimbush and I'm the editor of thetarlhurstend.com, a Reading fan site and blog. And I'm delighted to be joined once again by the Reading Post's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm not so bad, thanks, mate. Not so bad. The tension's building.
I was going to say, how are the nerves?
Not good. As soon as the final whistle went on Saturday, you had that, yes, euphoric moment, and then you were like, oh no.
I saw your tweet, actually, on Sunday, saying, is it 12:15 on Saturday yet?
Exactly that, and it can't come soon enough. Thankfully, we've got less than 24 hours to wait now, but as I said, I mean, Reading have got themselves into this position now where it's a win and they're in the playoffs, and they did that by going to Doncaster. They're not only winning 3-1, but breaking that curse that they've had all season of going behind. And actually, they came from behind to win for the first time since Ipswich on the first day of the season. I mean, what did you make of the performance?
Well, it was a strange one, really. I mean, it finished superbly. For an hour, or certainly for 45 minutes, it was sort of same old story, really. Kind of like the Wigan game. Reading just never got going in that first half and probably deservedly behind at the break. To be fair, Doncaster weren't brilliant either, but you know, they got the goal. Reading sort of switched off at the back and gave away a goal. And you thought at half time, oh no, are you going to be able to turn this round? Obviously, we haven't seen it since the opening day of the season. But gradually, as the second half wore on, you saw Reading started pushing Donny back, pushing them back. And then once they got the penalty, it was just all about can they find the winner? And Alfie missed a sitter with about 15 minutes to go. And he thought, oh no, is that the chance? But then Pog popped up just when Reading needed him and justified those wages with two vital goals at the end. And it all sets up perfectly for tomorrow.
Absolutely. And nice to see a couple of unlikely players get a bit of the headlines as well. In Jake Taylor, who, you know, we talked on this show in previous weeks and wondering why he hasn't been used. And he came on and made a real impact with a great cross for the goal that turned out to be the winner, Pog's first. Mm-hmm.
He did. And to be fair, it wasn't just the assist either with Jake. From the second he came on the pitch, he gave Reading something they'd been lacking all afternoon. He was driving forward, supporting the attackers, something that none of the other midfielders, certainly central midfielders, were really doing. And he just gave him a real impetus. And then obviously, yeah, he popped up with a cross for the goal. And it was a great cross as well. You know, it wasn't an easy one. He really had to stand that one up at the back post. And it was great to see. I spoke to him after the game. He was chuffed a bit. He really was. You could tell how proud he was of what he'd done. He knew he'd made a real big impact at such an important time of the season. And for someone who's grown up at a club and is a Reading fan, you know, you could see just how much that meant to him. And because it has been a bit frustrating for him. Well, it must have been not being involved, really, because he was involved. And then all of a sudden, for no real reason, it seems like he's been taken out of the reckoning. But he's come back, made a massive impact. And who knows, we might look back in a fortnight's time and think that could well be the most important moment of the season.
But let's be honest, has there been a more surreal moment than seeing Alex Pearce do a step over to create the third goal for Beryl Bogrebniak?
Yeah, it was quite a moment when I spoke to him down the training ground on Tuesday actually about it, and he was saying he certainly had a little bit of a Mickey taking going on at the all week ever since. I think Nigel Atkins described it as the slowest step over he's ever seen. He said to me, Pearce, he said, you know, I don't get in those positions too often. And then I thought to myself, I've got to try something here. I've got to try a trick. And he did it.
Well, certainly, hopefully he can continue that form into the next game. And I certainly would begrudge him another goal or a cheeky step over or two if that leads us to a win over Burnley on Saturday. But before we get into previewing that big game, I know that's what the whole focus is on this week. But another thing that's going to happen tomorrow is Reading's Player of the Season is going to be announced. Now, up on thetarlhurstend.com, we've got our own poll and our editors and assistant editors have put forward their cases for who they think should be given the crown. But as we speak at the moment, the clear leader is Jordan Obita, who's admittedly had a fantastic season. Do you think he's going to win the crown tomorrow?
I imagine he certainly will, judging by the sort of swell of opinion that I've seen on social media and websites. And I think if he does, I don't think anyone can really complain about it, can they? I think he's been fantastic, Jordan. He's where he was at the start of the season. He wasn't even sure if he was going to go on the pre-season tour to Portugal. And it was there in Portugal where I saw him work so hard. He was a standout player for me in that tour. And he's just carried that into the season, forced his way into the side, sort of nailed down the left-back position now since Wayne Bridge's injury. And, you know, I don't know what other people think, but I wouldn't want Wayne Bridge back in the side now. I think Jordan's been fantastic since he's done that. And so, yeah, if he wins it, fair play to him. I'm very much in the Chris Gunter camp as well, though, I have to say. I've been leading the calls for Chris Gunter to be recognised for what a fantastic season he's had this year, because I think he's been excellent. He's really linked up well with GMAC down the right-hand side. They form a real good partnership and just brings such an energy to the side. So, I think those two will be the one, too. I imagine it will be Jordan, probably Chris Gunter second, and then take your pick of Danny Williams, probably third, maybe McCleary, one of those two at third. So, but I think if Jordan does win it, then he's a very, very deserving winner.
I've gone for the slightly more controversial choice. I put the case forward for Pavel Pogrebniak, because I just think the whole season, he's the one player that you've looked week in, week out, and you think he's really busting the gut. And he's not had a lot of luck up front. He's been asked to do a tough job up front on his own for most of the season, but to still come out with 13 goals. And I suppose I was looking the other day and I said his shot ratio this season, he's been averaging 1.8 shots a game. When you're having so few chances to still get into double figures, I think it's a decent effort. But no, I would begrudge any of those names that we've mentioned at all. And yeah, I think it's nice that there are so many names in the frame.
I think it is. I think it says something about Wren's season, to be fair, that two fullbacks might well be one and two. It sort of shows that it's not been exactly nice, free-flowing, superb football going forward that we were all hoping for at the start of the campaign. I agree with you on Pog. I think Pog's been very, very good. The one thing I would say about Pog is that on about 40 grand a year or whatever he's getting, he should really be putting in decent performances week in, week out. Not that that takes away from, you know, how he should be rated in terms of how the season's gone. But for me, I don't know, I just think through sheer hard work and dedication to really nail down the spot, I think probably I'd go for one of Jordan or Chris. But sort of Pog, McCleary, Williams, they'll be right up there. I'm not sure if they're going to do 1, 2, 3 or if they're just going to go with a one and say who the winner.
Usually they go 1, 2, 3. They certainly did last season, yeah. So hopefully they do the same, because it'd be good to give a few different people some recognition. But
yeah, it'd be fantastic for Jordan if he does win it, wouldn't it? That the sort of story of it all and the way his season's turned around, and you know, and there'd be no more deserving winner really than him. And I think it's going to put him even more in the profile though over the summer. So I think there might be a battle on Reading Towns to try and keep hold of such a young, talented player.
Well, they'll certainly have an easier task if they manage to win promotion to the Premier League. And the first step to doing that, the first of, I suppose, four cup finals, is tomorrow against Burnley. Reading need to win to be absolutely sure of that place in the top six. However, they could make it with a draw or even a defeat, depending on the results from Brighton's trip to Forest and Blackburn's game with Wigan. First of all, before we get deep into the game, I'm going to ask you your quick opinion. Are Reading going to do it, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to have to stick my pessimistic hat on and still say no, because we can't agree and have positive things happen.
Come on, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. They've done the hard work now, and now they've just got to finish it off. They've take your mind back a week or so ago after Wigan. I thought driving back down the M6, I thought that was it, game over, all done and dusted. It was such an awful defeat, awful performance. Looked like there was no fight there from the players, and I just thought that's it, it's done and dusted. And then they've been given this, I'd say, second chance. It's probably been about the fifth or sixth chance they've been handed now, but this time they've actually taken it. You know, they broke that horrible home record against Middlesbrough, and they went to Doncaster, went behind, turned it around again, and won. And I just think they've done that. They've done the hard work now, and I think they'll go and finish it off. I know everyone's talking about Burnley and are they going to be on holiday? And I've been talking to the players about it, talking to the manager about it, and he's like, "No, of course they won't. Of course they won't." But I refuse to believe that. I've seen it so many times. Think about when Reading won the title a couple of years back, and then went to Birmingham on that final day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it does. If you're just at this level, if you're 5% off, then it makes a difference. And I can really see Burnley, no matter what they say, if they go behind, are they going to be really determined to fight their way back, raise the game and get back into it? I'm not sure they will. You know, I think they'll be dreaming of Ibiza or the Algarve of it as they head off for the summer.
I really, really hope you're right. I've just been burned too many times before. I wrote an article up on the website this week about Reading's previous do or die games in the last game of the season. And it doesn't make for the best of Reading. So I'm just hoping they can get over the line. But just interestingly as well, do you think Brighton will get the job done? Do you think they'll go and win at Forest?
I think they probably will. I mean, Forest have been dreadful for countless months now. And I think Brighton will. And I think that's what everyone has to think, you know, as well. No matter what is going on at other games, everyone just has to think Brighton are going to win. Blackburn are going to win by 7. Just have that in the back of the mind. And just think, put all thoughts of draw, everything out the window. Wren just got to go out there and win. Get the job done. Don't worry about anyone else, because none of us want to be sitting waitingly, looking on Twitter, looking at scores, thinking, oh God, come on, Forrest, get a goal. Although there's so many ex-Reading players at Forrest, one of them should hopefully do us a favour. But they've got to go out there and win. And I really think, given what's at stake, given what they know is at stake, that I think they'll get the job done.
I really, really hope you're right. Well, personnel-wise, then, obviously we've seen a fair few number of walking wounded in recent weeks. Do you expect many team changes from the one at Doncaster? Do you expect maybe Danny Williams to come back?
No, it seems like Danny's been ruled out. Both Danny's been ruled out. Hal might come back into the reckoning with a face mask on, by the sounds of it. But probably on the bench. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see exactly the same team that won at Doncaster. I think we'll see Ledger and Akpan in the middle. To start with, you'll have Pavan, Alfie. Obviously, Alfie's got a couple of goals now. He's breaking his Baron spell, which is important. Pav, full of confidence. I imagine we'll see the same team.
Yeah, and again, that's the team that got the job done, and they have got a few options on the bench to come on and hopefully change the game again. Maybe Jake Taylor makes himself a hero again.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's full of confidence, isn't he? So I think he'll certainly be involved if things are needed in that final 20 minutes. He'll be brought on. Interesting about Alfie. I don't know if you saw the story this week that he might actually, if they get to the playoff final, he might not actually be there. Because
explain it for those that haven't seen it.
His wife's due 5 days. It's 5 days before, isn't it? The 19th she's due, and the playoff final's on the 24th. And it seems like she's put her foot down a little bit about whether he's going to be there or not for the birth. So he's desperate to make sure that she's on time or even early. So I think he was saying that there's about 10 days in between the semis and the final, and he's going to be taking her up the Pennines every day, walking her up and down just to try and
get into the maternity ward nearest to Wembley Stadium, I think.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was saying hopefully the club could pay for her to go private or something. They could even get her in a fit up one of the boxes at Wembley with all the sort of equipment and try and get it done. He's obviously desperate to play. He's been at Wembley twice, lost both times, not scored either in either game, and had a bit of a stinker in both. So he's determined to get there again, and this time proved to be the match winner.
Well, he fits in well at Reading then, with playoff failures in the past.
Yeah.
But speaking of the playoffs, and we're completely tempting fate now, and I realise this, and it'll come back to haunt me, but obviously there's still a chance that Reading might finish fifth if Wigan get beat by Blackburn. Who would you rather take on in the playoff semi-finals? Would you rather have QPR or Derby, which is the more likely option?
I think Reading would beat both of them. I don't know why. I've just had it in my head that if Reading get in the playoffs, it's just Wigan that I'm worried about. I think you look at Reading, what, they won 3-1 at Derby, drew 0-0 at home. They won 3-1 at QPR, drew 1-1 at home. I mean, if you do that in the playoffs, it's a comfortable win. I mean, I'm not saying it will be, but I'm not really worried about either of those two teams. Especially QPR, I have to say, no matter how many old Premier League players they've got in their squad, I wouldn't be too concerned about them. It's Wigan. It's that sort of fast, mobile team where interchange midfielders and forwards that just seems to cause Reading a lot of problems. Obviously, we saw it at the DW the other week. We saw it at Bournemouth, similar sort of style of football, and it causes Reading problems because Reading aren't the quickest and the most mobile, are they? And I'd fancy either Derby or QPR. I wouldn't be too concerned about either of them, honestly.
Well, I think it's because, yeah, Wigan are the team that greatly worry me, and I just hope somebody else manages to knock them out in semi-finals.
Yeah, that's what I think.
With their pedigree at Wembley recently, it's frightening. I don't think they've lost. Well, they lost the Charity Shield, but you know they've won a cup semi-final, a cup final, and they only narrowly lost on penalties to Arsenal the other week. So they're certainly no strangers to cup success.
Yeah, and no strangers to Wembley, importantly as well, obviously. So there's not going to be that sort of fear factor or nervous tension. It's going to be almost like a home game. They're so used to playing there at the moment. So yeah, no, I'd be Wigan do worry me. I have to say, I think whoever's going to go up is going to have to beat Wigan. I think I can't see Wigan not get into the final, and so it's going to be tough. I think beat Wigan and you're in the Premier League.
Okay, but so you've got you think Reading are going to do it, but I'll press you then for a score prediction then for tomorrow. What do you think it's going to be?
I'm going to say 3-1 Reading.
3-1 Reading. I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to have to stick on the pessimistic course for the good of karma. And I'm going to say it's going to be 1-1 and Brighton will win and we'll miss out.
But Come on.
I know. I can't do it to myself. I can't bring myself to be fully positive. I just can't do it. I've been burned too many times.
They've
hurt me, Charles.
I'm staying in the positive camp.
Please do. Please do. And hopefully, as I said, Reading are expecting the biggest crowd of the season tomorrow, and hopefully there'll be a really good atmosphere. Certainly there'll be a party in the away end. Hopefully that'll be infectious. But fingers crossed they can do it tomorrow. As for next week's show, obviously with potential playoffs and stuff, we're not sure. We'll have to keep you updated on our various Twitter feeds. But where can we follow you on Twitter?
The usual @Charles_Watts.
Lovely stuff. Remember, you can go on to getreading.co.uk for all the latest Reading news. And if you want to read more insight and analysis from a fan perspective, please head over to thetylerstone.com or check out our main podcast that was released earlier this week with myself and Johnny. You can subscribe to both this show and that show on the iTunes feeds. Just pop over to the website and plenty more information there. So fingers crossed for tomorrow. Hopefully we're talking about a playoff semi-final in this show next week, if we do one. And we'll speak to you next week. Take care.
The Tylehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetylehurstend.com.